We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m. And if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
yes.
House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google+.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on the Portland region is hemorrhaging rental properties. And Google employees are saying the company's return to office plan is unfair.
And last night, we got a winter storm advisory. And the anti-gay marriage bill could have also legalized child marriage?
Well, let's get right into it. Google employees say its return to office plan is unfair. Some Google employees are calling out the company for unevenly applying its remote work policies, Business Insider reported last Tuesday. Google is bringing Bay Area employees back to the office at least 3 days per week. But while some team members are spared from in-person work policies, others are no longer allowed to work remotely, employees say. Employees raised their complaints at a company meeting. Two popular questions involved remote work. Google made record profits through the pandemic. Traffic has already increased, at least in the Bay, with gas prices at record high and people have different preferences for work from home versus work from office. One question said, why is the RTO policy not work from office when you want or when it makes sense to? Another submitter says some teams blanket ban remote work, with Google rejecting applications, even if managers are supportive. Employees said that Google's remote work policies felt arbitrary. One employee said a colleague was barred from remote work, even though their manager was allowed to work from home. Bay Area employees who wish to work remotely from other states might face pay cuts. Google will lower pay if employees relocate to cities like Durham, North Carolina, and Houston, Texas. This isn't the first time Google's remote work plans have upset its employees. In July, CNET reported that employees were angered by hypocritical remote work policies, allowing senior executive Urs Holz to work indefinitely from New Zealand, while lower-level employees had to go through an application process. Other big tech companies are also opening their offices for corporate employees in the coming week, but not everyone requires in-person work. Twitter will let employees work from home forever if they want. The pandemic has made workers accustomed to a flexible work environment, and many find required in-person work unappealing.
I'm finna get a job at Twitter.
Look, that, you know, the thing that we've learned in this time of working from home, for the people who were allowed to work from home, had the opportunity or had work that just you didn't need to be in person for, we got to see that work can still be done and it gets completed. And there's something to say about like an 8-hour work day. And right. Let's actually put it at 9 because of lunch, right? We'll round up and say there's a long lunch, 8.5 to 9. Mm-hmm. But when you throw in the commute, that can be up to another hour on the front and the back end. So yeah. Now that 8, 8.5, 9 went into a 10, 10.5, 11-hour work day possibly.
Right.
And that's not including still needing to do the things at home. So thinking of working from home where you're able to, oh, I can put food into the slow cooker on this break, in between this call and that call, these things that would take all of this extra time, they're incorporated into the day. And again, things are done. We figured out how to make it work over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And the old way of doing things of just having people in a space, if productivity is not dropped, what is the point outside of just monitoring?
Right. Right. I understand y'all got these leases and y'all pay for these buildings.
Yeah.
All of that. It's time to, you know, repurpose those facilities, figure out another way, or maybe sublease, you know, figure out something, because trying to get everyone back into the office, it just doesn't make sense. It's counterproductive. It really is. This is just one of those situations where there isn't enough imagination out there.
Yeah.
The higher ups in these companies to envision the next phase of the workforce. And you're right, like that ability to be able to stand over and monitor, I guess, you know, in some ways it's addictive to some of these people. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just see so many so much of the positive that has come from being forced into work from home. And the thing is that it forced the world, but we're talking on the US soils, for people to have to be creative and figure out how to work. And we've done it. And now to shake that up and come back, because it's this idea that we're going to go back to how things were before. Like, no, that why? Not why? Even no, but why?
Why? Why go back to something that, first off, where we are now, that I'm pretty sure all this time they thought it was impossible, right?
That
the pandemic itself probably presented itself as an impossibility. Like, no one even envisioned doing that. But then we take a look at the amount of money that these major corporations have made during the pandemic. Like, we're talking about profits in the trillions. This obviously is more effective. It's a better business model. Why you would go back makes zero sense for everyone involved. Everyone involved. Quality of life is increased. You actually have happier employees.
That. And
you're making more money. So.
That.
Yeah.
That.
Zero sense. Zero sense there. Well, on the local side of things here, I don't know what you may or may not have woken up to some snow, but there's been a winter storm advisory in effect since 3 a.m. last night. Ooh. A winter weather advisory has been in place, and it will be until 10 a.m. with a high level of disruption for this morning's commute. Snow totals in the higher elevations of the Portland metro area range from a half inch to 2 inches. Crews with the Portland Bureau of Transportation have been out overnight and will be responding accordingly to any areas that need attention. PBOT spokesperson Hannah Schaefer says, "We aren't particularly concerned about sticking snow, but we want to remind people that even slushy snow can be pretty slick, and that might happen in the Monday morning commute." She also suggested, if you're able to, delay your morning commute until later. That might be the best course of action. PBOT crews will be focusing on areas with an elevation of 1,000 feet or higher. In Portland, that's Council Crest and the higher up areas of the West Hills. And we will have folks, road crews, out there primarily. There are other areas that can be higher elevation as well and get slick sooner, such as Mount Scott on the east side, Schaefer said. One tip she had for drivers, keep a significant stopping distance between you and the vehicle in front of you, just in case you have to brake quickly. Oregon Department of Transportation crews will also be out across the region. They say if you head to higher elevations, keep your car packed with supplies like water and emergency kits. Transportation officials also suggest avoiding getting out of your car if not prepared for slick wintry conditions. You can also opt in for public transit if you need to get to work.
So a wild moment is how cold the Sunday day and evening was. As somebody who runs extra hot, caught myself walking walking to my car, and there being a moment of the fake teeth chatter. And I was like, if I'm feeling cold right now, it's freezing out here.
Right.
Right. And then having part of my commute seeing the slush stuff. But a quick thing yesterday, or not yesterday, but Saturday, being up in Seattle, was downtown at the Space Needle with my daughter. We walking and talking. It's a gray day. Nothing, you know, that's not Seattle, a regular occurrence in Seattle. It's not raining or anything. Then feel a drop. Uh-oh. And then the next thing I felt like, okay, that was heavier than a drop of rain. So I go to looking around and I'm like, oh, wait, is that snow? But it's coming down a little hard. And then realize, oh, it's like a snow hail mix.
Yeah.
Then it just starts dumping down hail for like 15 or so minutes straight. We get back to the car, hop on the freeway, and we're driving. And we had just made like a bet of like, I wonder how far down till this stops. And it wasn't even maybe 30 seconds to a minute after that. it was as if we drove past the wall.
Yeah.
And we laughed about it and so on. Then she sent me a picture. A photographer took a picture of what that looked like from across the bridge. Nuts, bro. I'll send you that picture.
Wow.
Nuts of just seeing a wall of hail happening.
I've seen stuff like that, like weather systems like that down south.
Florida,
where it's raining across the street. Yeah, I've seen that happen. Like that's wild. I mean, and we had a pretty warm week.
That's the thing. The turnaround. This we got up to 70.
Yeah,
it was like 79. Was it? It was 70. It was high 70s.
High 70s
on one of the days.
Yeah.
That caught me. What do you do with that?
Yeah, it was beautiful this week. Listen, I am not trying to go back. Y'all definitely drive safe out there. As far as like, you know, keeping a extra car link. That's how I drive normally. Just because people be wilding, you know, it will dip from the top lane to the exit right across. Like it's absolutely nothing. They just be wilding out. So yeah, definitely be safe out there. You know, take your time when you commute. If you can work from home, work from home.
Take a little advantage.
Yeah, hello. But I know since I've been out here, I definitely have experienced, you get an inch of snow, city shuts down.
Oh, yeah, it's a
ride of bread. Nap.
It's a wrap. They done bought all the waters. It goes down.
All of it. Oh, goodness.
Well, an anti-gay marriage bill could also legalize child marriage. Mm. The current culture war against LGBT plus people has reached a new low in Tennessee. Republicans in the state are moving forward with a new bill that would define marriage as between, quote, one man and one woman.
Wilding.
The bill, which was set to be heard in the House Civil Justice Committee on Wednesday, fails to include one important definition of marriage. The bill lacks a minimum age requirement for marriage, meaning it could potentially legalize child marriage. Republican Representative Tom Leatherwood, the bill's sponsor, defended the bill by saying it gives, quote, an alternative form of...
Let's go, Tom.
An alternative form of marriage for those pastors and other individuals who have a conscientious objection to the current pathway to marriage in our law. What is he talking about?
Bruh.
Currently, there's no federal legislation regulating the minimum age for marriage. Child marriage, marriage where at least one of the parties is under 18, according to the UN definition, is legal in some form in 44 states.
What? Yes, in our United States of America.
Nearly 300,000 children were married between the year 2000 and 2018. Democratic Representative Mike Stewart was on the subcommittee that passed the bill, but had his objections. Quote, it's basically a get out of jail free card for people who are basically committing statutory rape.
Nearly 300,000 children were married. We could stop it right there. I don't care when it was between. Just the phrase, nearly 300,000 children were married. What are we talking about?
In some form, in 44 of 50.
Between 2018 and between 2000 and 2018 AD. Uh-huh. Like, what? I feel like there's certain things when you hear it, you're like, oh, well, we got to get on top of that. We kind of missed, that kind of slipped through the cracks there. Let's make sure we hop on that real quick and just make sure that's taken care of. Why is that legal in 44 states? Like, what?
And for the people who because I feel like this is stuff that goes up for being repealed.
Right.
Like how we don't understand how they're the anti-lynching bill. How does somebody vote nay?
Right. The thing was, it need to be, you know, this is an encroachment on states' rights. This needs to be handled on a state-to-state basis. Sir, you are in no jeopardy of being lynched, white man. I don't need to, as a black man, consider which states to drive through because lynching is still legal. Like, what is wrong with y'all? Like, what? Nah, for real, what is wrong with y'all?
Right.
Child marriage should be handled at the federal level. It's a no. No, we do not.
Zero zilch.
Like,
in 300,000, like, where does that make sense?
Bruh, I'm about to do the math right now. 300,000 divided by 18, just to average this out.
Mm-hmm.
16,000 a year. 16,000 children a year are getting married. Oh, are we marrying children to children?
That's what. So that's where I was like, is this 17 and 18 year old? Is this 16 and 15 years old?
Right.
Or is this some adults?
Right.
Some well into adulthoods.
Right. Right. Nah, man. This is new.
Mm-mm. Alternative form of marriage.
Right.
Is a wild
way to put that. Yeah. So the update on that is they did make some changes to that bill to make sure it was clear that this applied to 18 and older. Okay. But the fact, but here's the thing, like, they were going to push forward. If someone didn't raise the alarm on that and ask for clarification, they were going to push forward with it as is and just leave that gaping wide open lane. Like, yeah, they're willing to do anything. They're willing to do it all. On paper, at that.
On paper.
Yeah.
With their names attached to it.
What? Signing on the line.
Like showing up with no mask on.
No mask. Yeah. No mask. Whatsoever. None of it.
Ah.
Mask for who? Well, the Portland region is hemorrhaging rental properties. A revised economic report claims that single-family detached rental homes have quietly slipped out of supply in the Portland metropolitan region. Though the original report did claim that there had been some loss, the new report claims that the decline between 2015 and 2020 was as much as 6 times more than originally believed. The report says that the problem includes, quote, 90% of tracts having fewer units today than in 2014. The first report released in an online press conference on March 15th and was retracted within hours of it being released. The new report was released 10 days later based on completely different figures. That's wild. The report says that in the 5-year period between 2015 and 2020, 3,987 rental houses were lost in Portland, a 14% reduction. The larger metropolitan region saw an 11% reduction, 6,417 homes. According to Multifamily Northwest, the firm that represents landlords and helped release the report, the decline is caused by local regulations that are difficult for smaller holding landlords to navigate. These rental properties then get sold, as it is easier for landlords to simply sell than deal with the regulations. Multifamily Northwest says that not enough multifamily housing units have been built to replace these lost homes. About 1,100 3-to-5-room apartments have been built in the city between 2015 and 2020, far less than the nearly 4,000 homes that have been lost. It's tough, man.
Also, is there 5-bedroom apartments? Those exist?
First off, where do they do that at? I'd like to see one of those, please. What?
Yes.
And I can't even imagine what those run.
Man.
I mean,
that would have to be like a floor of a building.
It has to be. Yeah.
5 bedroom is a lot.
Yeah.
That's something luxury.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's bedrooms on both sides of the floor with the common spaces in the middle. Yeah. Bruh, I've been talking to people earlier. I mean, actually last week on some of the meetings and in and out of some of these Zooms. And some of the homies talking about how hard it is, how the market is really crazy right now, trying to buy a home. And like it's a seller's market. People are seeing their properties move for like anywhere between like 40 to 60% above asking price, cash deals. Like homes are being snatched up right now. Snatched up.
Yeah.
And we are in the middle of a housing crisis. People cannot afford to live here. And all of these different that are going up.
You know, I keep hearing the whispers that are coming through of like another bubble. That seems like it's going to burst.
Right.
Excuse me. I don't necessarily, you know, I guess I don't have enough knowledge of how that works.
Maybe we need to get to
what I do know is it that feeling of the 2014. Yeah. And I don't know how much longer being able to hold in this place. Like, what happens? Like all the major cities are experiencing this.
Yeah.
And does that then just send everybody more away from the coast and more deeper inland?
I don't even know, man. Like, I can't even I moved out here for this, you know, for everything that Portland in this area provides. And now to be able to be in a position where finding a home large enough for us to live comfortably with the yard and everything else we want, it just seems so unattainable. I mean, here's the thing, though. Super blessed to have a roof over our heads, period, because there are so many members of our community that do not, that have jobs and are living in vehicles. Like, I just don't understand how we are here. It's not like we actually have a shortage of properties. It's not like we actually have a shortage of homes. Affordability is a thing. There isn't enough regulations in place to make sure people are off the street. Like, it's the Wild West out here. Boy.
I remember conversations I used to have when I moved here about how the cost of living here for how nice of a place, this was like affordable.
Right.
And you could do things here, which other people definitely got that memo. And came here and did things.
Right.
Damn. Now you say, I mean, thankful to have what I have. I would love to, you know, make that transition into home ownership.
Yeah.
But competing in a market like this has been a seller's market for a decade now, it feels like. Don't know when that pendulum is going to swing, but peace.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. again as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers, hosted by Karen Jones and DJ Ambush. A guest writer this week, Brian Miller. Music by C's.
All of this, 450.
You know it.